this evening, we're just going to do it a little bit different. Hopefully it'll be a success. It's not all my work. We've been very fortunate that some of the brethren were happy to give me a hand and give me some suggestions for verses, some suggestions for hymns, and also some of the poems that'll be in this evening's service. So because it is a little bit different, I'm going to ask Linton if he would come up and open with prayer first. Thank you.
Let us pray, brethren. Our loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are warm with the joy of the day. We rejoice in this beautiful place that you've brought us to. And we listen to the sounds of the birds and the cool breeze from the ocean. And our hearts are warmed especially by this time of fellowship together. We're aware that many others around this great world of ours are also casting their minds towards your kingdom and building one another up. And we thank you for that. And we rejoice as we look to the hope, the prospect, the vision of the future when all of mankind will rejoice in what you have made, what you have done, and in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. So we pray that our minds will be composed this evening as we further reflect on the many wonders that you have given to us through your scriptures, through the words spoken by each other, and we open up our hearts now to the words that will be spoken tonight, that we may continue to praise you and worship you in all things. And we pray all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
What a wonderful promise we have from our Lord and Master. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The word translated age is often translated forever. And this seems very fitting for those who give their lives to Christ. What a privilege that we have of access to Christ through him acting as our advocate to our Heavenly Father. Speaking to both the Jews who converted to Christianity and the Gentiles who previously had no hope and without God, now both had access, as Paul states in Ephesians 2 and 18, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. This evening I would like you to join me as we sing praises to our Heavenly Father and his Son and read verses and prose that remind us that we are never alone when we are on the narrow way. Many of these hymns will be very familiar, but they are still very beautiful hymns. And the first one is hymn number 431, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let us open this evening's worship service with singing this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer.
Trials and temptations.
nations. If they trouble anywhere, you'll never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends and coins forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. We have the promise in Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. Following this promise, let us sing together hymn number 444, and you can remain seated for this one, where two or three with sweet accord meet in thy name. Hymn number 444. Interesting, as you're finding hymns to fit in with your theme, I cannot remember singing that one. It's just interesting, and by the sounds of the choir here, I wasn't the only one that had not sung that one. So it is just interesting to me, the hymn writers really had such a knowledge of the scriptures, and to me were moved by the Holy Spirit to write many of the beautiful hymns that we have. However, at times we feel a little bit like these donkeys.
Oh dear. The opening hymn included the following words: are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? And yes, I think each one of us can think back of our lives when we thought that's how we looked to God. How often do we feel like these donkeys, that we are heavy laden and unable to cope on the demands of the narrow way? Even the Apostle Paul had times when he felt weak and heavy laden. And at one of his low points, he was given the following encouragement. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Can we also gladly state, when I am strong, when I am weak, then I am strong? Of course, these words come from 2 Corinthians, recognizing that we have to rely on the Lord for our strength at all times. As we continue on the narrow way, for some of us, our aging bodies also play a part in our weaknesses and cares. And yet we have this beautiful promise in Isaiah. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grows weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What a wonderful thought, that we will mount up and soar like the eagles. It's interesting, though, it's not very easy being an eagle. I didn't know this until I went to have a look. They're born with great, big, heavy wings. And part of the survival mechanism is that they have to learn how to fly without flapping their big wings. They have to learn how to do this in order to conserve energy. Eagles can literally die if they expend too much energy flapping their wings during flight. As a result, eagles have to learn to do very early how to soar without flapping their wings. They have to wait for wind thermals to give them lift. Sometimes eagles will remain perched for days before they can catch a good, strong wind thermal. And to get them to where they want to go, we too are like eagles. The wings could represent our faith and belief in God, and the thermals, the Holy Spirit, which we rely on to give us the assistance that we need on the narrow way. And we have that beautiful thought, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. It's just interesting in doing the research to how did eaglets learn to fly. They are a bit like us when we start on the narrow way. They need some poking, they need some prodding. The nest is cosy and comfortable. It's so nice to have meals flown in without any effort on their part. That's when the adult eagle begins to stir up the nest, nudging them closer to the edge of the cliff. One last push, and they are tumbling out into empty space, flapping their wings while falling to the earth. That's when old Baldy and his mate come in. They fly underneath them. They catch them on their wings, and they bear them aloft. On reaching a safe altitude, they do a sharp banking movement, and off they go again, tumbling through space. After 3 or 4 of these elevator rides, they begin to learn how to catch the updraft and to use their wings. It won't be long, and they will be soaring on their own like tiny specks in the sky. Won't be long, and they'll be soaring on their own. It's just interesting. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a copy of it. Got sent a very interesting email with some people that fly the ultralights, and they've got the beautiful picture of the two eagles on either wing following them because they were using the uplift that they were creating. They're very clever birds, but we are told that the Lord does something similar to assist us on our journey, and says, "For the Lord's portion is his people, like an eagle that stirs up the nest, that hovers over its young. He spreads his wings and caught them. He carries them on his pinions." Deuteronomy 32:11. Let us sing together the beautiful hymn 268, "A Glorious Hope of Heavenly Love. It lifts me up to things above, that bears me on eagle's wings." And you can remain seated for this one. When we do not feel strong and powerful like an eagle on our walk, but more like a lamb, a lost one and one in grave danger. But we need not fear, as we have the promise of our Lord in the parable recorded in Luke 15 verses 4-6. "What man amongst you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays him on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" What a wonderful thought that our Lord treats each of us in this way, as we read in Isaiah 40:11. "Like a shepherd he will tend his flocks, in his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, he will gently lead the nursing ewes. What a beautiful promise we have. Let us sing together hymn number 384, and I'll get you to stand for this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. Hymn number 384. Difficulty in planning this was just which hymns do you choose? We have so many beautiful ones. But the psalmist had a wonderful insight for writing the psalm. He had experienced the life as a shepherd boy, having tended and protected his sheep. He had experienced the care of God as his shepherd, leading him and protecting him from danger. David had experienced the despair when King Saul wanted him killed, and yet he realized that he was never alone. His shepherd was always watching out for him. I'd like you to listen to a song that was written back in 1945, and this was written by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein for a musical called Carousel. The words appear to have been strongly influenced by their Jewish heritage and the fact that World War II had just ended and the horrors that so many people experienced during that time appear to be in this hymn, in this music. you enjoyed that as much as I did. I found the words, "At the end of the storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of the lark," of interest.
Why was a lark used in this verse? I found that the lark builds its nest on the ground. We can just imagine the fear that the mother birds have for their young in a storm. She covers them with their feathers and tries to protect them from the wind and the rain. This was the very picture that our Lord used just before he died on the cross when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." It's interesting, during the week I received an email with a little note in it. We don't realise to what extent the bird will go to protect. The bushfire had gone through, the firemen were coming through mopping up, and they came to what they thought was just a dead mother bird, still standing erect, and one of them brushed it with the shovel. Underneath, she had protected four chicks that they took out. She was willing to give her life for them, the same as our Lord gave his life for us. But when the storm passes, it is noticed that the lark would soar into the sky singing, as if rejoicing that the storm had passed and she and her chicks were safe. It was as if she was giving thanks to her Creator for his watch care over her. I wonder how often we remember to give thanks after we have endured trials in our lives. The psalmist wrote, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds amongst the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all of his wonders." Psalm 105, 1 to 2. Let us sing together hymn 101, which includes the words, "Hear what the Lord hath done for me," and we'll remain seated for this one. Hymn number 101. Thank you.
Thank you.
as we travel the narrow way, we have times when everything is going smooth and we are at peace. The certainty is the way that we have
will be like this only occasionally. And yet the Apostle Paul gives us an advice in the letter to the Thessalonians: make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. It's interesting, to achieve this, we're told to mind our own business, but also to work with our hands. Paul is telling them to achieve a calmness in their life, that they are to concentrate on the work at hand and not to cause disquiet by meddling in other brethren's business. This does not mean that we do not care about others on the narrow way, but we have to make sure that our care for the brethren edifies them. We have plenty of work to keep busy. We have to make our own election, calling an election sure. No one else can do it for us. Oh, there are other times, though, when we feel like a demasted ship in a storm, lacking direction, and our journey seems so difficult. It is at this time that we need to go to our Heavenly Father to ask for assistance. We have to do this in faith that He will answer our concerns. And James reminds us that we must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. James 1 and verse 6. We have to remember to give praise at all times. Hymn number 151 reminds us of this fact. And let us sing together verses 1 and 2, "If on a Quiet Sea," and we'll get you to stand for it if you are able to. Thank you, sister. Sometimes we forget that the storms are when the old sailing ships used to make their speed. And it was interesting, as you know, here we have in Sydney, they have the ocean race down to Hobart. And it was just interesting that the modern ships, yeah, they're quick, but I had to smile. There was an old sailor, and he had quite an old ship, and he said, "I want a storm." He said, "I can move in the storm, they can't." And so sometimes, maybe that's why when we get older, we can move in the storms. All right. There are times when we feel alone. And the palm footsteps in the sand give us an important lesson. This poem was written by Mary Stevenson when she was very young, in 1936. And it says, "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand."
sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, that there were only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The years where you saw only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you. How wonderful it is to know that our Lord is looking after our every need." And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, said, "No one supported me, but all deserted me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I was rescued out of the lion's mouth." How often do we feel like the Apostle Paul and then remember those words that he said, "The Lord stood with me"? Let us sing together the beautiful hymn 184, "Jesus Himself Drew Near." We'll remain seated for this one. Hymn number 184, "Jesus Himself Drew Near." was sent a beautiful poem, which was written by Pearl Reynolds, called Lord, Let Me Think on Lovely Things. I'd like to share it with you and have put on the screen the verses that may have inspired Pearl as she wrote this poem. Lord, let me think on lovely things, like days beside the sea, and Jesus' teaching on the shores of tranquil Galilee. How at his touch the lame can walk, the blind are made to see, the deaf can hear, the sick are healed as he speaks lovingly. And guilty souls are given rest, their sins are all forgiven. He brings the outcast into the join the family of heaven. I can leave this place to go to lovely Galilee, but in my sick room I will wait, and he will come to me. And at his touch I will be healed. My eyes his glory see, and he will make my heart be glad, now and in eternity. Let us close with prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the many promises that we have, that we will never be left alone, that you will always be with us. We realise these times when we feel we are alone, but it's at those times that we need to put our trust in thee to gain more faith, more understanding of your wonderful plan, not only for us, but also for of all mankind. We now ask that you be with each and every one of us here, that you, it's your will that we are given a night of rest, that we may be refreshed and strengthened, that we may take into our hearts what we have heard today, and that this will stimulate us as we go on our walk, and that tomorrow, if it be your will, we shall once more come to hear more from your holy word. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for singing for me, and for hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. Thank you.